Welcome to Island Ghost Radio. I'm Mike Taylor.
I'm Erica Popino.
And I'm Diane Constell.
Tonight we have on Britt Griffith.
Yes, Britt will be coming up in a few minutes, but first, we have a couple of voicemails we want to play.
We do?
Yes.
People still call us?
Yeah, apparently people still like us.
They call us all sorts of things.
Ooh. No, people have had nothing but kind words.
Okay.
I think. But anyway.
Well, we'll find out.
Let's start off with this first voicemail. This was someone who left a message regarding last week's show. We did our segment on orbs at the beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. We played voicemails. Well, this person heard the show and had an opinion he wanted to leave. So let's play that first.
Okay.
Hi, guys. This is Dale Wakurka. I'm part of the leader and founder of the Mentor Ohio Paranormal Research Society. You can reach us on MySpace, MOPRS13 at MySpace.com. I wanted to say what I thought orbs are, and my team also agrees with me. We believe that orbs are a way of a spirit to communicate with whoever is in the area. But there are other ways that spirits can communicate, which is EVPs, or maybe even you take a photo and you end up catching a fog or a mist-like substance. We do believe that that does happen. But for the majority of the orbs that I've seen in photos and such, I do believe that some spirits communicate like that through orbs or any other type of activity. It's just a way for them to get noticed and it's a way for them to show themselves, essentially. So that's my thought, and I hope you guys keep on trucking. And I love the show, and I hope to keep on hearing you guys. So great job, and thank you guys, and take care.
Well, that was nice.
Wait a minute. Did he say he loves us?
I think he did.
No, he just said he loves me.
He loves us.
It's love at first sight.
Oh, to be loved again. Oh.
Stop fantasizing, Mike.
Oh, to be loved again. Yes, he loves. Oh, the music stopped. Oh, wait, no, it's fading out. Never mind. Yes, so that was Dale, I think his name was.
I don't remember.
Yeah, they don't remember.
He gets so many phone calls.
But he was very nice.
Yes.
Yes, he was.
Thank you, Dale. Call us again anytime. Tell us how much
Dale,
you love
call
us.
Call me again.
Oh, boy. No, a lot of interesting opinions on orbs last week. And if you haven't heard the show last week, we recommend go listen to it if you want to hear everyone's opinions on orbs.
Including ours.
Yes. And the next voicemail, let's play this one.
Hi, guys. This is Mary Ellen, and I love Island Ghost Radio. It makes me feel tingly and spooky all inside. Love you.
Wow.
Okay, that's a little scary.
Wow. She feels what?
Tingly?
Spooky and tingly?
Spooky inside?
And tingly.
Wait,
inside.
But she also said she loves us. Oh, to be
Mike,
loved.
Mike, you're getting carried away now.
Oh, to be loved again. Oh, the love.
You know, he has to play this every night before we go to sleep.
You know, I'm probably going to have to play this anytime someone says they love the show.
I want to get back to that girl. I think if she feels tingly inside, she needs to go see a doctor.
Yeah. Or get some Vagisil.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's bad. Sorry.
If our show is causing that problem, we have issues.
Absolutely. But those were two very nice voicemails. And the next voicemail we got is actually someone who is sharing a ghost story with us. We posted on our MySpace page. If you have a ghost story and you want to share it with us, call us.
Wait, before you play it, let's get the marshmallows.
Why? Are we going to build a campfire?
Yes. Well, oh, we have to tell ghost stories around the campfire and roast marshmallows.
I see.
I'll get the mosquitoes.
We can't start a campfire in the studio here, though.
No, but we can take it outside.
Oh, well. Then maybe after the show, but...
Borrow your chair. I want to set fire to it.
That's not right. Okay, let's play this message.
Hey, it's Jamie McCaskill with Shreveport Paranormal Investigations. I was calling to share my story on why I'm a ghost hunter. You can see a picture of the house on our website and also on my MySpace at myspace.com/ShreveportGhosts. When I was 16 years old, I was a skeptic. I didn't believe in ghosts. I would laugh when people told me a story of this house that was actually down the road from me. They would say, oh, Jamie, you know, I walked in the yard and this happened, or I was walking past and this happened. And so one really hot summer, I was bored, was out of school. So I walked down to the house, and it was all boarded up. You can see in the picture if you look at it. I walked around to the back, and I saw that there was three graves back there. And I was like, yeah, that's why they think it's haunted. And then I started back out of the yard, and I got about halfway, and there was this boarded up window above my head. But as I got close to it, I thought it suddenly got really cold. And I looked up at the window, and it sounded like somebody was running towards me inside of the house. And then it sounded like they beat on glass, not on a board, but on glass. And I took off running. And as soon as my feet hit the pavement, I was hot again. And now I look back at it, I wish I hadn't ran. You know, I am a paranormal investigator now, and I don't believe in running, but, you know, it just, that's the reason that I believe in, it's the reason I'm a ghost hunter now, and the reason I do say I want to believe you. You know, if you won't, check out the picture. Like I said, it's on my MySpace, myspace.com/reportghosts. Thank you.
See, Jamie loves us too, right?
No, Mike, he didn't say he loves us.
I didn't hear that.
Enough with the music.
Wishful thinking, I guess.
Mike, back to the show. Come on.
Okay. Jamie loves us. Sorry. No, Jamie's been messaging us back and forth on MySpace. He's a really nice guy, and we thank him for sending that
Thank you, Jamie.
Voicemail to us.
Good story.
Good story. Excellent.
So if anybody has a story they'd like to tell us, call the Island Ghost Radio line at 631-676-1079. We'd like to hear from you, and we could play it on the show.
Yes, call us about anything you want. If you want to tell us how much you, oh, I don't know, maybe love us.
Don't encourage him.
I need love so bad.
He's so needy.
Please call him.
He's very needy.
Anyway. No, but if you have a ghost story to share with us, please do. Or if you have anything you want to share, call us.
Cupcakes?
Cupcakes. Send us cupcakes.
Yeah, send them right through the phone.
Yes.
I don't want cupcakes.
No?
Low-fat cupcakes?
No, you want potato chips on the air.
Well, is that bad? Should I not be eating chips?
Yeah, I think that's a little unprofessional.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Listeners can eat, but we can't.
Why don't we get to Brit?
Why don't we get to Brit?
Let's get to Brit.
Brit. Yes, Brit.
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 Brit. Brit.
All right. Let's bring Brit on the line after these messages.
Yes?
Hi, I'm here for the New York Ghost Tour.
Sorry, we're closed. But you can come back next week.
Next week? Forget that. I'll just go check out another place.
Trust me, there's no place half as interesting as ours, dear.
That's so not true. What about the Shanley Hotel in Napanock?
Once you've been to one haunted hotel, you've been to them all.
Not like this place. The Shanley Hotel dates back to 1845, and since then it's been a hotspot for paranormal activity. Mysterious music, smells, whistling, doors opening, footsteps, almost everything you can imagine has been experienced at that hotel.
It's open to the public?
Absolutely. Sal and Cindy, the owners of the hotel, welcome people for regular stays or investigations, and their rates are beyond reasonable. They even offer workshops and in-house psychics.
How did you learn about this place?
By visiting www.shanleyhotel.com. You can get history, investigation info, and much more.
Thanks, I think I will. Just don't tell any of our customers.
Your secret's safe with me. It's not like anyone can hear us.
Tonight we have on the show Brit Griffith. Brit leads the California TAPS home team. He's the TAPS family manager. He's also joined Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters as a part-time investigator. He's one of the instructors for TAPS Paranormal Boot Camp. Brit enjoys blowing stuff up, driving fast, and jumping out of planes. So, Brit, you were just on a plane. Did you want to jump off?
Oh, yeah, I would love to.
How did I get everything right?
Kind of. I'm not a TAPS family manager. I'm not a TAPS family member. I'm the manager of the TAPS family. I'm actually a TAPS member. I'm on the TAPS team.
He's not only the president, he's a client.
I thought I said you're a TAPS family manager.
I service myself.
Oh.
That sounds vaguely dirty.
That's all right. We're PG-13.
Oh, sweet. Then I'll be fine here because our TAPS boot camps are PG-13.
You can curse away. We have a little sensor when we are it.
Mike's little beep.
Cool. Oh, cool. Okay.
We'll put in a beep anytime you want to say f***.
I don't want to ever do that beep then.
Erica, don't say f***. It's not nice.
Oh, boy. Well, Britt, we thank you for joining us. We know that you really came down under the wire because you were flying. Where were you coming from, Chicago?
Yeah, I came in from Chicago. I literally landed 20 minutes ago.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I hope you're using a Bluetooth.
Why?
because I know you like to drive fast
and blow things up.
Actually, I got the wife driving, so I'm being chauffeured right now.
Oh, that's nice.
Britt, somebody sent us some audio from your TAPS boot camp. I just wanted to play a little bit of this.
Okay.
I know it's called TAPS boot camp, but listening to these recordings, I think it might be taking it to the extreme. Let me play these four audio clips from the last boot camp before you respond to them. Here we go. This is the first clip. You started the class off by demeaning everyone. Here's that clip.
You are pukes. You are the lowest form of life on Earth. You are not even human
beings.
You are nothing but unorganized, web-esque pieces of amphibian
And then...
Britt, that wasn't very nice.
And then... this is how you responded when someone had a question about EVPs.
I'm asking the fucking questions here, Private. Do you understand?
I'm not sure why you called them private, but anyway, then the next recording is from when someone took out an EMF meter they wanted to show you, and for whatever reason, you didn't like this brand of meter, so this is your response.
Holy Jesus. What is that? What the fuck is that?
And then finally, you just got completely belligerent with that person.
I will gouge out your eyeballs and skull f*** you.
Now, Britt, don't you think you're taking this
a little too seriously?
Yeah, I know it's called TAPS boot camp, but come on.
Lee Harding is like my idol. I love that show. I used to be able to quote almost everything he said in that movie.
well, obviously, for the listeners out there, we're just having fun with Britt. That was not Britt, and that was not
it wasn't? I was ready to sign up.
You actually gave me an idea. I think I'm going to put some of that stuff on my computer.
Awesome.
Oh, great. So anytime you force now someone to crawl through mud holding an EMF meter and a voice recorder, it's going to get blamed on us, right?
Oh, that would be a great move.
That's awesome.
I see a YouTube video coming out of this.
Oh yeah.
Well, absolutely. Why don't you tell us what TAPS boot camp really is?
Basically, what TAPS boot camp is, it's how TAPS investigates. It's just the basics. Obviously, it's not the only way to investigate. It's just how we do it. We have found, you know, over the years, as we bounce around the country and go to events and whatnot, people are always asking Jason and Grant how they do this, how they do that, how they do this. So a while ago, Jason asked me to put together a curriculum and start doing these boot camps, basically give back to the community. And a bottom line is, these are geared towards the people, someone who's watched the show and says, I want to go ghost hunt. What do I got to do? That's really what it's geared towards. That's what we were shooting for. What we're finding out, though, is not only are we helping those people out a lot, but people that have been doing this for a year or so, they're coming and they're learning new stuff.
Uh-huh. That's awesome.
And Sid and I are finding out that just interacting with the crowd, even though they're brand new at this, they're still learning new stuff. So it's turned into this really cool learning experience back and forth. And we try to keep the price down. That's why it's just Sid and I. And then we get to ghost run at night, and that's what really costs money because we've got to run all those damn facilities. But we try to keep the cost down, and we're just giving back to the community and just A to Z how TAPS investigates. That's really all it is.
Where are the boots? Where are the boots? Where are they held?
We're going to try and bounce around the country. We've had one at the Granada. Theater in Ontario. Actually, we've had two at the Granada Theater in Ontario, California, which is a very haunted place. We did two at the Spalding Inn a few months ago in New Hampshire, which is the hotel that Jason and Grant own.
Uh-huh.
We're actually going back to the Spalding Inn the end of July here, July 31st and August 1st. And there's still a handful of tickets left for each day if anybody's interested. But what's cool about that is Jason and Grant will be there.
Uh-huh.
And they're actually going to do the EVP session. They do like about a 90-minute class portion workshop on EVPs,
uh-huh.
which is cool. And then we're looking at a place just north of Bakersfield. That should be announced here pretty quick.
What state is that?
California.
Okay.
Just north of Bakersfield. You don't know Bakersfield, Beth?
I need to buy her a map, obviously.
You guys are East Coast, aren't you?
Yes, New York.
Long Island.
Some reason I thought you guys were local.
No.
Nah, you're East Coast.
No, if that were the case, we'd be coming over for dinner.
There we go, baby. Do you cook for this?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Then I'm coming over.
So the boot camp, it's like presentations and hands-on?
Yeah, it's both. It's 5 hours of class. We actually, Sid and I talked for literally 5 hours.
Uh-huh.
But we put breaks in there, there's a lunch in there. And bottom line, we still don't have enough time to even get in all that we have. We really need to do a 7-hour class. Bottom line is, yeah, we go over equipment, we go over evidence, we show some evidence that we've caught from, cases that aren't on the show. We show some stuff that are on the episodes and kind of talk about them. And just kind of show people how we do it, from how we process our EVPs to what we'll consider an EVP and what we throw out. We try and show people that, this isn't all fun. A lot of this is boring, sitting in the dark for hours on end. We try to explain to people that, bottom line, the show's different, but for a local group, about 95% of the time, you can be what's going on.
Right.
So that's a whole lot of non-terminal activity time spending that you're doing.
Right. Plus all the
95 out of 100 cases.
Plus all the review afterwards.
Right.
Then you have the review afterwards, and that's what we try to get across to people, that the fun part is doing the investigating, meeting the clients, going into a cool place and looking around and having a good time and chasing ghosts and investigating and whatnot. The hard part is the review on the backside and doing a quality review. And we try to show people that, you can be staring at the DVR for an hour and a half straight, just, eyes starting to burn, and you just turn away for a second to get a drink of Coke or whatever, and boom, you'll miss something.
Yeah.
I mean, think how fast that, in that light, the lighthouse incident where the chair moved that first season.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
How fast that happened.
Yep.
Had Brian looked away for an inkling of a second to, whatever, scratch his toes, I don't know, they would have missed that.
Yeah, I actually knew a guy who used to fast forward his video in 2x speed. I'm like, you are going to blink and miss like 10 seconds of something happening by doing that.
Well, we do that. Don't get me wrong. We'll go through at regular speed, but there are some stuff you won't see at regular speed because it's moving so slow. And then when you jump it up to 50% or whatever, you pick a speed and go for it 18 times, 20 times, 32 times, and you'll see stuff move.
Right. If it's something subtle that moves around. And
Yeah. Exactly. And then sometimes what we'll do is we'll take a snapshot of the first frame, and then we'll go all the way to the end, take a snapshot of the second frame, put them together, and see if anything has moved.
Right.
Yeah.
And then one of our DVRs that Sid owns has that facial recognition software, and it's called missing object software. And basically, if something starts to move or something moves or a ghost appears, it'll take a timestamp. It'll give you a little data log printout at the end of the night, and it'll say, something moved here, something moved here, something moved here.
That's
awesome.
Then
you can go back to those timestamps and look, and those would be the first places you would go to.
That's really cool.
And it's just to help speed up that process. But you still have to go back and watch everything.
Yeah.
Well, Britt, I haven't been to the boot camp, but I have met the TAPS guys. I've met them at the Mansion of Massachusetts, Fort Mifflin, Pennsylvania, and also Mount Washington, New Hampshire. And I would imagine, thank you. It's similar. I would imagine the boot camp is similar to that in the way that you meet a lot of great people. TAPS fans are a lot of fun, and they're great people. You have so much in common with them that it's just great to do something like that and to meet all those people that have something in common with you.
Right, and that's the other cool thing about it. And what we're noticing with the boot camps, when Sid and I do them without Jason and Grant, we're actually getting a crowd of people that seriously want to get into it. that aren't just there to meet Jason and Glenn. They're just not fans of the show. They're
right.
Wrong. They're fans of the show, but that's not the only reason why they're there. They're not there for the celebrity aspect of it.
Yeah.
They're there because they're genuinely interested or had their own experiences, and they want to learn and give themselves a little bit of a jump start.
That's
don't
awesome.
Get me wrong. We do not teach you 100% everything you need to know.
Right.
There's so much of this stuff that you just have to learn on your own.
Exactly. It comes with time.
I guess if we were going to do that, we would probably have to have a four-day class.
Yeah.
Really, to teach everybody. I mean, this is just a 101, get you pointed in the right direction, get you just rolling and be kind of comfortable with what you're doing. That's all this really is. And everybody we've talked to that's taken the class has walked away with something new that they've learned. So.
Well, there's certain things you can teach, like experimentation.
Right.
You know, thinking up different things to maybe try and, you know, arouse the ghost, so to speak.
Wow.
Hey, this is a PG-13 show.
Wow, I didn't say your mind went there, not mine. No, you're absolutely right. But, you know, we tell people that. Don't be afraid to try new stuff, you know, and this is where I don't want to say pet peeves, but you know, I'm really big on pushing the envelope, using new equipment, even if it looks funny, at least try it.
Right.
If we're not pushing forward, if we're not trying new stuff, if we're gonna stick with the digital EMF meter and the K2 and the DVR system, the mini DVs and the digital recorders, and that's all we're gonna use forever in the future. Then what's the point? This field is going to stagnate and not do anything.
Right.
We need those people out there that are trying the new stuff, that are looking at this from a fresh perspective, from a different angle, from an out-of-the-box angle, and moving forward and just trying and experimenting. The only thing is we just have to be smart enough and disciplined enough to know that, okay, we're going down this road. I'll give you an example. Take a piece of equipment and you're starting to work on it. You're starting to develop it. You're putting your blood, sweat, and tears into it. You're putting money into it. And, you know, I've gotten $6,000 down the road on a new piece of equipment that I'm experimenting with and realizing that, crap, this ain't going to do what I want it to do. And just have to basically back up and walk away from it because it's not going to do. It's not going to work. So, you know, how many hours, how much time invested in that, how much money's been invested in that. And we have to be, as a field, as a society, we have to be disciplined enough to observe that, accept it, and move on to something new. And sometimes people don't have the ability to do that. They get so emotionally attached to their invention that they're going to cram it down our throats and make it work from hell or high water, even though it's not.
Right.
You know, kind of like Rogaine or, you know, these companies. Yeah, you know, they put all this big money into it, and then they, you know what, it ain't working. But let's put it out on an infomercial anyway, because there's a bunch of people to buy it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what our field has a problem with right now, is a lot of the funky stuff that's out there.
Wait a minute. Are you saying Rogaine doesn't work? Oh, no.
It only works in your palm.
Oh. I thought that was for masturbating. Never mind. Now, Britt, doing these classes... doing these classes, have you had anyone say to you... wow, I didn't know that it was going to be like this. I'm used to the TV show where everything is quick and edited and there's music and, wow, it's a lot of sitting around and waiting. Do you get people saying things like that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We get people, they just at the end of the class, they're just like such an information overload into their brain. They're just like, what am I doing?
Huh.
You know, and wow. The other thing that we go over too, which this is actually what really makes people take a step back the most. I've experienced this three times. Sid has experienced it three times, and he got one of them on tape. And basically, the most dangerous thing that we, as an organized group going into people's homes, are going to deal with are the clients.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And then animals are second.
Oh, yeah.
And we, you know, actually Sid was, I don't want to say lucky, because he let this guy into his house. So basically, we have a gentleman that is definitely off of his meds, and the way the prelim came in, the way he talked on the phone, everything was okay. And Sid basically got lazy, for lack of better words, and he had that gentleman come to his house where his team met him so they could talk to him. And this conversation and interview went into such a weird, wild direction that this guy was just off of his rocker. And we're able to present this to people because Sid videotaped it. And this guy actually signed all the releases for it. So what we're trying to get across to people is that, you know, the general idea is we're here to investigate the paranormal and basically get questions to get aside. That's in general what we're here for. But most of the time, that's not what we're doing. That's not what we're – most of the time, we're just home inspectors. We're telling people, you know, stuff like, you know, the reason that this room is colder than everything else in your house is not because there's an entity, demon, whatever, living in there. It's because your contractor forgot to put in an 8-foot piece of insulation in the wall that goes to the outside.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the stuff that we could tell. That's what we do most of the time. This guy was off his rocker. You know, bottom line, I had a guy who called, and we don't. Unfortunately, I didn't get this on tape or anything like that, but this gentleman called, and he said that the voices in his head were telling him to do bad stuff, blah, blah, blah. This is just a cold phone call to me. He got off our paranormal website. That the voices are telling him to go get his dad's guns and go down and kill a bunch of people.
Oh, boy.
Now, yeah, exactly. Now, me, as a guy who does this as a hobby, you know, you're freaking loaded. Hang up on him? This is not what I'm in this for. I'm in this to go in a cool place and chase guns. No, I can't hang up on this guy, because what if 2 days later I read in the newspaper or watch on TV another, you know, Columbine 2 goes off and it's this guy I talked to I just hung up on?
Yeah.
You know, basically what I did is, we on the TAPS team, we have Jen Jolly out here local. She's works for LA County Health, and she's a trained psychotherapist. She basically talks people off of bridges type of person. Got them two in contact, and she talked to him, got him back in the system, got him back on his meds, and he's working and being a productive member of society.
That's great.
But that's off of ghost hunting. That's off of, it was a paranormal call that I could very easily say, well, this guy's a loon, and hung up on.
Yeah.
Too bad the rest of the world doesn't have a psychotherapist on their team.
and that's what a team needs to do.
Yeah.
That's what these teams, you need to look at your team and go, okay, do I just let all my friends on because we're going to go out and have a good time? If that's what you're going to do, that's fine. Don't take on clients. Don't take on private residents.
Right.
Go off and do the Queen Marys and the, you know, the Queen Marys. And what do you got? Eastern Block.
All the public places to investigate.
And, you know, go do those. Those are fine if you just want to go have fun and chase ghosts and you really don't want to
help.
You're not in it to really help people, so to speak. You're in it for your own personal curiosity and thrill seeking, I guess.
Yeah.
But if you're going to take on clients, there's so much more to this than just going and looking for ghosts. I've had people tell me, standing in their driveway, they've told me straight up, depending on what you tell me is whether I sell this house or not. So what I do as a freaking hobby, they're going to make a major life financial decision off of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for us to go into someone's house and say, oh, my God, you got demons in here, and then they sell their house, and it's like, well, oops, I misdiagnosed that. It was just the hot water pipes banging in the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you gotta look at your team. You go, what do you need? Sid has a guy he works for, like Orkin or one of the big exterminator companies. He's a trained professional exterminator. He knows animals. He knows how they get into houses. He knows where they nest. He can look at food that's been eaten up in the attic and tell you exactly where it is. A lot of times he'll go up in an attic and come down and go, you have raccoons living in your attic. And he'll go like, well, did you see them? No, but I found their poop. Want to see? You know, oh, and I can tell by the size of this poop, it's a really big one. So, Sid, you know, that's what you need. You need one of those on your team. We have a registered nurse on our team. Basically, she can tell meds. Oh, you're screwing meds up. You know, they have this old prescription here, and they're missing it with this new prescription over here, which is a little different, and it can cause hallucination. You got to look at what you have. You got to look at your team, and you got to piece it together to make sense for what you're doing. Having a home inspector, having an exterminator, having a nurse or a doctor type, or even a pharmacy technician. Pharmacy technicians are the best. They really know meds. They can go into someone's medicine cabinet and tell them exactly where they're screwed up at. You know, then you look at your paperwork, case file type management system. Well, who are you going to get for that? Definitely don't want me doing it because I'll screw it all up. No, I found someone who's an A personality who likes everything in the box, and she freaking could just whip out emails and memos and proofread like no tomorrow. So all of our cases make sense. We have an English professor on our team that's kind of a reservist, Carl Sherlock. And, you know, that guy makes us look way smarter than I really am. I can tell you that much right now.
That's what
it takes to put a team together
right. That
really is full service. And then you need to fill in with investigators. And that part, you can really bring in like a rookie that you want to train or a friend you want to let out of the team. But you really got to have some key people on your team to really help somebody.
Yeah.
Holy crap, I think I just talked way too long.
No.
Not at all.
Now, let's start at the very beginning, though. How did you get involved in the paranormal? Did you have an experience at one time?
Well, yeah. Basically, my parents, my mom or my dad and stepmom, they owned a house in Woodbridge that was active. And this was actually in a new development. And it was really active. And my brother and stepbrother lived there, and I was like every other weekend guy.
Mm-hmm.
But they had stuff going on in that house that was crazy. That house didn't be over there by myself, and the dog would start freaking out and barking up the stairs, and you see a shadow go across the like hallway landing area that goes from room to room. They had wall-to-wall mirrored closets up in my brother's room, and then within that closet was a little a midget door that goes into a storage area.
Uh-huh.
And which was nicely done. And I sort of got it sound like people were moving furniture in there, and you would go up there and the door would be open. And there'd be nothing going on. And you go back down, you close the door, you go back downstairs, you hear it again, you go up, the door would be open. My brother actually took a coat hanger, wired it to the coat hanger bar, pulled it out straight, wired it around the door handle. The next day it was pulled through open.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my stepmom had stuff just disappear, like a really nice gown dress for going out at night. And she would find it wadded up and shoved in the back of a drawer she would never put it in. Her perfume was constantly missing. She would literally put perfume on, set it on the counter, turn and do something, turn back and put the lid on it, it would be gone. She'd find it 3 days later.
Huh.
Cool.
So that's what got me into it. And then, and that was when I was like, 16, 17, 18. And then, of course, when I turned 18 years old, I knew everything and moved out of my parents' house. Yeah. And at that time, it was all about partying and girls and just making next month's rent. And so I kind of got away from it. And then in 2003, I met up with a buddy who was actually part of an organized group, and I joined it with him. And from there, it took off. From there, I went from that to Pacific Paranormal. And then from there, I met Jason. And then he asked me to manage the Taps family, which I said, yeah, which, holy crap, is that a babysitting job? And then from there, he asked me if I wanted to come on the show. I said, yeah, sure, sounds like fun. And then after a couple rounds of that, he asked if I would start a Taps team on the West Coast, give him some representation out here. And I said, yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
And that's kind of my track of how I've gotten to where I'm at now. Although I will tell you, I still step out of my body and look at myself and go, how did you do this? What? You're making money off of ghost hunting? How does
nice.
That work? So, it's been a fun ride. Hopefully I can make it work where I don't have to go back to a real job, but we'll see.
Do you talk about orbs at Paranormal Boot Camp? And if so, what do you tell people?
That sounds like a loaded question.
and feel free to tell the truth.
Oh, yeah, no. But here's the deal on orbs. We don't even address them, bottom line.
Okay.
If you take a picture of an orb, no, we do. I mean, we go into a whole thing, a whole spiel at the boot camp about it. But if we take a picture and we see an orb in the picture, like one of the little classic orbs that everybody wants to come and go, hey, look at what I got an orb.
Yeah.
We don't even, you know what? Bottom line, orbs can be generated naturally in nature. Scientifically proven, no plasma thing, energy discharge, and boom, you get a ball of light.
Right.
It can be done naturally, not paranormal, nothing. It's just a natural reaction of how the atmosphere works. I don't exactly know how it works. I once had a quantum physicist explain it to me. So it naturally can happen in Mother Nature. So you take that. Then, if you go to like Mark Stinson over at ghostvigil.com,
uh-huh.
He did a great experiment with mist and lint and fiber and skin and bugs and basically took all these orb pictures, I mean hundreds of them, and put them all together in this great experiment that he did. There are so many ways to get a false positive on an orb, so many. 99.999% of orbs and pictures are false positive.
Right.
Yeah, we agree.
You just can't take it. Oh my God, it's paranormal. You just can't. I don't care if it's red, blue, green. I don't care if it has faces in it. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's a freaking piece of dust or it's moisture. Bottom line.
Yay.
If you're in a dark room, and you're looking straight ahead and you don't see a freaking ball of light. Wow.
Sorry, we wanted to give you some clapping.
We
on
didn't
that.
Tell you we have an audience yet. No.
Oh, an audience, please. Bottom line, if you're in a dark room and you see with your naked eye a ball of light bounce across the room, that's interesting.
Right.
Right on.
And then if you take a picture of that ball of light after you saw it with your naked eye, okay, that's interesting. But if you're in a dark room and you just fire off a random shot and then you look at the shot and it's like, oh my God, look at all these orbs. I'm sorry, that's false positive.
Yeah.
Not dealing with it.
Now, I have to ask, is that the TAPS, like, official position? Do you have members in TAPS who are kind of like, well, I don't know, I think like 50% of everything photographed are real orbs. Do people vary on their opinions, or is it pretty much, is everyone pretty much on the same page?
They're pretty much all on the same page.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not that we're saying that, I mean, there could be real orbs, but you need to see with your naked eye.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, if you go back to 35 millimeter film days, we didn't have this orb craze.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because 35 millimeter film doesn't react like that to the dust. It's a digital thing. It's the way the digital camera processes the image that it sees, and the way the light reflects and refracts, whatever.
That's right. Refracts.
Refracts.
It gets processed back into the system. It's a relatively new thing for us.
Yeah. So. Yeah, my attitude is they can be recreated way too easily, so you got to discount them.
Yeah, they're just way too many false positives.
Yes.
And the other thing for us as investigators, and you know, and don't get me wrong, I love the fact that people want to come up and ask questions and talk, and I love talking paranormal stuff. I really do. But when you come up and you show me a picture, and you go, "What do you think this is?" That's like ripping a page out of the center of a novel. Thank you. And read this and tell me what it's about. So that's what your job as an investigator is. You have your notes. You go, where were you at? What time was it? What was the weather like? Was it an old dusty place or was it a very clean place? Was, you know, what was your camera settings on? Did you use a flash? Did you not use a flash?
Right.
There's so much that goes into this. It's not about just taking one picture and going, "Oh my God, we just got a full body apparition."
Right.
You got to have all this backup to it, and you know, and unfortunately, that's the backside, the backhand of the show, is that people see the show, and they think that's the way it's done, and there's so much more to it that they can't get on the show, just because they don't have time. It's TV.
Right, because it's just like a short, like, bit of time. You guys are there a couple of days, and they just kind of splice that all together into 10 minutes.
Right, pretty well, 22 minutes per half hour. So right. 44 minutes to do an hour episode. And you know, and that's just the nature of the beast, but just know that we do all that stuff. They just don't show it.
Right.
You know, we do all that research. We do, you know, we know what we're doing. I mean, Steve, just like I've been doing it 20 freaking years. I've been doing this since 2003. Steve, he's been doing it for a long time also. Amy, she's been doing it a number of years. Dave's been doing it a number of years, as young as he is.
Yeah.
Chris Williams, I think she's the newcomer. When you saw her on the show, it was really her first time.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? She's even come a long way. I mean, they've investigated so much since she's come on. My wife almost ran into the car.
Oh.
Holly.
Yeah. He's really laughing now. Sorry.
That's okay.
So bottom line is, yeah, we have a lot of experience. We know what the heck we're doing. Kristen Garland, who comes in every now and then, like I come in every now and then, been doing it forever and a day. So they just can't get that across in the show. And it sucks. They wish they could, because it would help answer a lot of the critics who make stupid, baseless accusations of us that we're faking stuff, but we're not. We don't have to fake stuff.
Right.
We got a great budget. We get to hopscotch across the country and frickin' skim the cream off the top and go to these hot spots. And we have, you know, these teams that are in these areas that go and investigate places, and they send in their information. They say, hey, you might want to check this place out because we got X, Y, and Z there. So, you know, because the show has a big budget, they can take that information and hit all these really hot spots, which is why the show has such a high positive haunted percentage as opposed to what a local home team does without a budget.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Let me ask you, what has been your most memorable investigation?
Memorable would be the Star of India by far. That is the first, television-wise, Star of India. That was the first time I've ever felt the impact of disembodied footsteps.
Wow.
That was crazy. And then to have Grant back it up, who was on top, and everybody heard it, including the cameraman, everybody heard the footsteps. And it went right along with the claims that people have reported over the years on that ship. So that's one that really stands out. The other one that really stands out, show-wise, was at Club Dead in Miami, at that Miami Cuban club.
Uh-huh. Oh,
the
yeah.
The flashlight interaction.
Yeah.
So the show really didn't show it very well, or get it across, in my opinion, but, you know, that was a 20-minute, 25-minute interaction there, and probably 15, 20, 17 questions, maybe, somewhere out there, of hitting dead nuts right on. Turn it off, you know.
Wow.
That was really killer, too. And it's like, you know, I'll give you one as a fluke, two as a fluke. I'll even give you three hits as a fluke. But when you're getting up over 10, 15 questions that are hitting right on, I'm sorry, there's just no way that you're timing it with when the flash is going to happen to turn on and turn off on its own.
Right, yeah. It can't just be coincidence.
Going on there.
Yeah.
You know, and then what the show didn't show, which irked me a little bit, is, you know, Glenn and I looked at each other and said, okay, let's not ask a question for 5 minutes and see what happens. And that flashlight did not come on. And then as soon as Grant said, okay, you can turn it on now, it came on.
Awesome.
And they didn't show that on the show.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do, you know, you ask questions, we ask questions, and that's just part of us investigating and knowing what we're doing and how to double back. And, I mean, we ask the same question about being 8 years old four different times over that span and in different ways, and it always hit right.
Hmm.
So, I mean, that was another memorable one. What other ones were? Not on the show, by far, the Wolf Manor.
Wolf Manor?
Sanitarium, the Clovis Sanitarium episode. But I've been there like 11, 12 times now, and I've never left there without an experience.
Wow.
And it's up in the Fresno area, Central California. It's outside of Fresno. And it's, wow, by far one of the most active places I've ever been. And then the Stanley Hotel, that's another really, really, really active location.
Yeah, if you guys want to check out a really active location on the East Coast, I recommend the Shanley Hotel.
I want to get out there and do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a boot camp there.
Yeah, we've had some great experiences there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a bit of a skeptic when it comes to all this, so I was really impressed the first time investigating there.
Yeah, I consider myself a skeptical believer.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
So I have to ask, have you ever been afraid on an investigation? Anything ever scare you?
Afraid or getting scared? No. Have I been spooked or startled? Absolutely. You know, when something moves, it's going to startle the hell out of you. You get a shadow coming out, it's going to startle the hell out of you.
Yes.
Did you turn around and dude run? No, never.
I was just about to ask, did you do the dude run?
Yeah. No,
you know what I do on investigations when I get scared? I fall to the ground and I get in the fetal position and I urinate in my pants. That's my self defense mechanism.
That's still not a good one either.
No.
He's kidding.
Yeah. We're not supposed to do that. The people are asking us to come in there to help them. We're going to run out with our tail between our legs. I mean, come on. That's not what we do.
I'm sorry I soiled your carpet.
Yeah. I'll send the Stanley steamers over.
That's why our investigations are free of charge.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Britt, so, I have a question I'd like to...
I have been startled, but I've never viewed Ron.
Excellent.
Britt, I have a question I'd like to ask you.
Okay.
And who in the paranormal field do you admire?
You know, I really admire the guys and gals that go out there without a TV crew, without making money, and they're just going out there spending their own money, their own time to help people. Just the local group that is just putting their time into it, not for fame, not for glory, but to go out and actually help people. There's something very satisfying about having, you know, some lady say, you know, I'm really terrified of what's going on in my house. I don't know what's going on. I think I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and you go in there as a group and you put your equipment out. And at the end of the day, you say, you know, ma'am, you're not going crazy. Those knocks you're hearing in the wall are not Satan. It's your hot water pipes when your son turns the hot water on across the house. Or, you know, that scratching you're hearing in the ceiling is that's an animal that's living up there. You need to get an exterminator out here. You know, and you just watch the relief on their face. And they're just, their whole body demeanor will change of like, just, wow, I'm not crazy. Okay, I can deal with this now. You know, and the groups that do that day in and day out, every weekend, whatever, those are the ones I really admire. And from that standpoint, pushing forward to that, you know, then they take the time when they get evidence, they document it in a proper way, and they, you know, they build their own little database on their site, or they put it up on, what is it, the World Reporting Society? What is that website? I can't remember now. There is like a database now you can report your stuff to, which is to help push the field forward so that maybe at once this will be able to find the answers.
Wow, that's excellent.
So that's pretty much who I admire the most.
Yeah, that sounds like you admire us a lot then.
Yeah, pretty much.
Thank you.
That's where I started. That is where I started. Right there with you.
Thank you, thank you.
And to be honest with you, to this day, I still do that. The TAPS team on the West Coast, we don't get a budget from, you know, from Jason or Grant or the show.
Right.
We do this all on our own. This is all of our own money going into it, buying the equipment, our own time, you know. We just happen to have the TAPS name, which opens up more doors for us, which is nice.
Right.
But, so I'm still there. I'm still in the trenches. I'm not a... Not like some people on TV shows that, you know, all the only time they ever investigated is when a camera's been on them.
So, Britt, if listeners are interested in doing this Paranormal TAPS boot camp, where do they go?
If you want to do the Paranormal boot camp, you go to www.tapsbootcamp.com.
Okay, and what's the para101.com?
Same thing.
Same thing?
I bought a bunch of domains. Paranormal101, TAPSbootcamp.com. They'll get you the same spot. You can even go to the TAPS website, the AtlanticParanormalSociety.com, and there's a link on there too.
So sooner or later, you're going to come to every region of the country and.
I try not to step on Garland's toes. Chris Garland does the original Paranormal 101.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's like, stay out of Rhode Island.
She basically does the East Coast.
Okay.
You know, and that's her nickname was the only exception that I've made is I've gone to the Spalding Inn with Jason and Grant, and that's because Jason wanted that. He's the boss.
Right.
You know, we'll probably come into the Midwest for sure. I mean, I would love to go to the East Coast, but like I said, that's Garland's territory, and I don't want to step on her toes. So
why don't you feud with her? Have a rumble.
I think she'd kick your ass.
Wait, you don't mess with a woman with a tattoo.
That's
she
true.
She had a lot of tattoos. And she was a cop for a while, too.
Oh, all right. Never mind.
Yeah,
she probably still has the gun.
You know, if I had to fight her, I'd probably have to get a stick.
You got to just pull out your drill sergeant routine.
I'm waiting for you, you little maggot!
Actually, I think that's her. No, I just, you know, that's her neck of the woods. I don't want to... So, I mean, I don't know, if she were able to give me, you know, say, yeah, why don't you come out and do one, then I would, but basically she does the same thing, so, and I noticed that she's starting to branch out, too. She's not just staying at the Rhode Island office, I noticed that she's done a couple of, one down in Florida, I think.
Uh-huh.
So, there you go. But she can come to the Midwest, we're going to definitely go as far as Minneapolis.
Okay.
Great. Now, do you think in the future there might be a... say a DVD for sale with the TAPS boot camp?
We're looking at that and doing something like that. We're also talking about just webcasting it. We pay $2 or $3 or whatever we come up with at a cost to webcast it. I'm fortunate that I have a team member, Rob Jones. He's a guru when it comes to streaming video and all that kind of stuff. He works in that industry of streaming video for Live Nation. And he just rocks at that. So we're talking about doing some streaming.
That would be great.
Sorry, I thought you hung up on me. So we're looking at that, but we have to look at the cost. And, you know, and then on the flip side, how does that affect the classes? Because most people don't want to do just the boot camp, or just the class. Like, they want to do the class and the investigation.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's the hands-on investigation is what I think is the lure.
Yeah.
You know, because at the Granada, we put the class only tickets at $10. I think we only sold 7 of them. But, yeah, we sold out the investigative part. So.
Right. That's the icing on the cake.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, okay, so if they won't pay $10 to come sit and watch this in person, which actually sitting out pretty entertaining, are they really going to want to sit in front of their computer for 5 hours? Are they going to want to watch a DVD for, you know, 5 hours? And that's just what I wrestle with. Cause so the dollar, you know, can it generate enough money to at least pay for itself? And if it can do that, if it at least just pay for itself, I'll do it. But
yeah,
unfortunately, I don't have a day job anymore, so I have to make a living at this and pay for my family and roof over my head and feed my stomach and stuff like that. So
yeah,
bottom line, it's become a business.
Yeah.
So when we come out to California, can we have a ride in your hearse?
Absolutely.
We'll lie in the back, and you'll drive us around town, and we'll just kind of like stick our heads up when we pull up to a red light.
You don't have to lie in the back. It's like a limo in the back. That's
seat
eight.
Oh, okay.
Awesome.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
You're lucky. I've always wanted one.
You what?
I've always wanted a hearse.
You'll get one eventually.
You want to buy it?
Yes.
How much?
You tell me. We'll talk. We'll talk. Email me.
It's a 1972 Cadillac. It's a classic. $3,000 to take it.
Wow.
It only gets about 9 miles to the gas.
There's the catch in this economy.
Yeah, how cool is that, though?
Absolutely.
And pull up to the gas station, filling it up.
And it's about 23 feet long.
Oh,
nice.
Wow.
Yeah, they're not short. They're a big car, big heavy car. But if you like attention... Oh, my God. If you like attention, you got to have a hearse.
Yeah, I don't mind
Yeah, people just stare like no tomorrow. Especially because mine has shaved door handles and ghost flames on the side.
Oh, cool.
And a train horn underneath the hood.
Do you have a picture of it on your MySpace?
Do we have a picture of the hearse on the MySpace? I don't think so. You know what? I got to put one up. I'll put one up on the
Okay, table. Cool. Brett, I'm sorry. We're running out of time.
She's had a few beers before the show.
Shh.
Oh, yeah, I'm not supposed to mention she had a few beers. Sorry.
We're running out of time, but Britt, do you have an event or anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, he's got
Taps
Boot Camp.
We got the boot camp, tapsbootcamp.com, and then Beyond Reality event. Oh, God, I can't get that out. Beyond Reality event.
Did you have a cocktail on the plane?
I had a few.
That's why Holly's driving.
Yeah, exactly. BeyondRealityEvents.com, that's where we do really big events, which is more of the celebrity type. We bring a bunch of speakers out.
Right.
We have an event in April at Mount Washington Hotel, which is a blast. We're going to
be
our third year doing it.
Yep.
What's really cool about that event, the five-star hotel with $300 to $400 night rooms, our rate is $154.
Right. Yeah,
so
we were there the first.
Really high-dollar hotel at a really cheap price.
We were there the first year. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a really nice suite too.
Oh, which one did you go to?
We went to the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Back in August of last year.
Cool. Yeah, we've gotten better at it.
It was good.
Yeah, we had a great time.
It's even better now. And then we're looking at some other events. We're looking at trying to get Jason and Grant out to California. We're looking at we got an event coming up hopefully just north of Bakersfield, which. One of the locations there is a 118-year-old house, has all of its original furnishings in it.
Nice.
Including the chair that someone was shot and killed in, the bullet hole still on the back of the chair.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Wow. And then the other location is the hotel. It was a hotel and bar at the time, and it's the last big Wild West shootout in California happening in that hotel.
Huh. That should be a lot of fun. Cool.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Awesome. You got some great things coming up. Good for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Just trying to have a good time and bring some new locations forward another event we got coming up. Cooperstown, New York, the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Really?
That should be announced next week. Just watch the website.
Awesome.
We got the oldest hotel in that area, I guess, and a lot of activity in that neck of the woods. That was like where a lot of the Indian uprisings happened back in the Pilgrim days.
Right.
A lot of slaughters and death and carnage and also the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, all that good stuff.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. So we got a lot of stuff on the books coming up. Just keep your eyes out.
Awesome.
And then the new season for Ghost Hunter starts here in a couple weeks. Wednesday night.
Great. Cool. Well, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. We're happy that we had you on the show.
Yeah,
thank you for having me. I love it.
Yeah, what's your website, Britt?
Which one?
Which one do you want to plug?
Throw a few.
Tapsbootcamp.com and beyondrealityevents.com. And then for all your other paranormal needs, go to the Atlantic Paranormal Society.com.
Awesome.
Okay.
Excellent. Good. Well, we thank you for joining us tonight and sharing all this information.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you for having me. You guys are a blast.
Okay. Rock on.
Thanks. Thanks, Brent.
Yeah, we hope to have you again in the future.
Absolutely. Anytime. Give me a call.
I heard my uvula moving.
Ew, gross.
No, it's the punching bag in the back of your throat.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't like that.